final speaker, Dr. Catherine Luchuk, is the director of the South Carolina Access Initiative, a project which seeks to expand access to all reproductive health services in South Carolina. She also holds an adjunct faculty position in the Department of Health Promotion, Education, and Behavior in the University of South Carolina, as well as being a faculty affiliate with the USC Women and Gender Studies program. She has a long history of research and practice in women's health and maternal and child health, and she has conducted projects in the US as well as in developing countries, publishing related to women's reproductive health, health disparities, health during pregnancy and the postpartum, and prematurity prevention.
Good morning, happy to be here. And I'm gonna be taking you through some information about how to put some of the reproductive justice tenets that we often talk about into practice through workshops with paraprofessionals. And I wanted to recognize Linda Robinson, who is a nurse practitioner, who's our trainer and has developed most of the information that I'm gonna talk about in the workshops, and is the person who does our trainings. I have nothing to disclose. The South Carolina Access Initiative, as Sarah said, takes a multi-pronged approach to foster broad-based participation in a reproductive health justice movement. We do this through research with needs assessments, strengths assessments. We have community engagement projects, we do outreach, and we do education. And what I'm going to talk about today is some of the education that we do through these workshops. We follow something that was developed by a group in Atlanta called Sister Song when we look at reproductive justice. And these are the basic principles that fall within the larger social justice movement, and that's that every woman has the human right to decide if and when she will have a baby, and then the conditions under which she will give birth, options for preventing or ending a pregnancy, and also options in parenting the children that she has with all the necessary social supports and freedom from violence and having safe environments in which to do that. It also recognizes that social, racial, all these different kinds of things come together, poverty that affect women, that can interfere with their reproductive justice rights, and that there's also lots of opportunities to violate these rights, unfortunately. The objective for us in these workshops was really to put into practice these ideals through these workshops for paraprofessionals. And these paraprofessionals were groups who were interested in increasing their effectiveness around the interconceptual care period, essentially trying to help their clients after they delivered babies to wait at least 2 years before they had their next child. What we found when we started thinking about the workshops was that there's a common problem with so many types of workshops and trainings, and that's that they suffer from something called the curse of knowledge. And basically, to illustrate this kind of concept, where people don't realize when they have a lot of knowledge that the person that they're talking to does not have that same knowledge. Elizabeth Newton, who was a psychologist at Stanford, did a study where she asked people to be tappers and listeners. And basically what she did was she asked tappers to tap out some common song in a tapping way, and then she asked listeners to then identify that song. They asked the tappers to predict how often people would be able to identify the song. They said about 50% of the time. In reality, about 2% of the time they were able to identify. Think about this yourself. Go ahead and tap out Happy Birthday, you know? And you think, okay, you know, what do you hear when you're tapping that out? You hear the song playing in your head, right? But the person sitting next to you is hearing these random taps. They don't hear the song, but you think that they hear the song. And then you think, why don't these people understand what we're talking about? Why can't they hear us? I think some of the things we were hearing Lisa talk about some of the problems with trying to get people to do their AZT properly or whatever, you know, can be rooted in some of this issue. So we're trying to find ways to get over this curse. What are some of the ways we can do that? We borrowed some ideas, actually Linda came up with these ideas on her own, but Dan and Chip Heath, who are psychologists, have developed a way to codify this by calling it sticky ideas. And sticky ideas are using these six basic principles termed success when shaping our communications. And it's basically a way to take the random tapping and make it more meaningful. What they say is that the things that we remember and the things that we act on are because they're simple ideas. We boil it down to the easiest common denominator, and you can actually layer simple ideas on simple ideas to get at a complex and abstract idea, but you don't start with that complex and abstract idea. You do concrete things. You do things that people can touch and feel and understand. You do unexpected things, funny things, things that make things memorable. You need to be credible. You also have to make people feel something. If it's they think it's funny or they think it's important, and we have to use stories and analogies to get this information out. So the picture that you see here is one of these sticky ideas that Linda does. What she takes is she takes a little tiny bit of hand cream in a teaspoon, and she says, "This is the typical ejaculate. How many sperm is in that ejaculate?" And while people are calling out the number, and this is men and women often, she takes a liter full of sand, starts pouring the liter out. And it's pouring and pouring and pouring, and people are saying, you know, 1,000, 1 million. She's saying, okay, that's all sterility, right? Here's what it really is. It's 350 million sperm in this little tiny teaspoon. And the idea is that, you know, no wonder you have to protect yourself if you don't want to be pregnant or you don't want to get an STI. She picks up the sand and says, these things love their job. And so you've got to do something to interfere with that. Another thing that we do is we found that women really don't seem to understand their reproductive system. And this is talking not only with clients, but also talking with the people that are supposed to be working with clients. And so we bring together some things. We talk about how the female reproductive system is kind of hidden, and how we're very similar to a nest and an egg. And we talk about when you reach puberty, you have an egg carton, and the egg carton opens, and there's all these lovely eggs, and that you have a uterus, and in preparation for preparing a place for a nest for this egg, you get all this stuff. And then when you find that you don't need to fertilize an egg, then everything starts going out. And the egg, she says, you press the delete button, it all starts going out, you don't need it. And then guess what? It starts all over again. And that, ladies, you have about 40, 45 years of this over and over and over again. And so you have to figure out every month where your egg carton is, whether it's open or shut. And basically she says that you need to take control of your reproductive machine. She calls it a baby-making machine. She says, you need the remote control. She picks up a remote control and says, because if you don't control it, it's going to control you. We say that we also borrow some things from Amy Chalotte. We are very interested in reducing the dramatization of our reproduction and sexuality, and replacing that with normalization. The fact that everything is sexual, you go out in the springtime and pollen is covering everything, well, that's sperm. Everything reproduces, and it's normal and natural that we're going to go through these changes and become sexual human beings. And what we want to focus on is healthy sexuality, and the fact that we don't deny it, and we don't hide it and dramatize it, but we normalize it. Normalizing also allows us to talk about issues that are often very difficult for people to talk about, like sexual orientation, and also about abortion and sometimes different kinds of family planning methods. We developed six workshop modules. We formulated this with discussions from paraprofessional groups about current gaps and needs, and worked with them to design these, and then use the success principles. The workshops, Linda actually has a toolkit like this that she brings, all these neat little supplies. She has lots of different kinds of fun things. And we find that our workshops actually change the understanding and the sexual activity, of reproductive biology, because people, we really need to go back to the original birds and the bees in this case. And also we try to talk about counseling and ways for people to talk to their clients in ways that their clients can understand. And we're finding that there's new perceptions, new explanations and analogies, and also new behaviors that we've witnessed from people doing the workshops. The workshop topics include positive encounters, which is a simplified kind of way to look at counseling, and you don't have to be a counselor to do this. It focuses on ego states. Are you the critical parent, which is what many health providers often are when they're talking to women? Are you the petulant child where everything is punching your buttons and you're being defensive, or are you the adult? And the adult ego is something that you need to develop and have a positive encounter every time you're with a client. And this kind of runs through all the other workshops that we do. We do sex and sexuality, the new ABCDs, and that's autonomy and not being faithful, but rather building committed relationships and such. And then there's anatomy and physiology, understanding your baby make machine, contraception and condoms, the double C. She uses a coach bag to talk about that. STIs, HIV and AIDS, the love bugs, and interconceptual reproductive planning and options, which does include full options counseling, includes abortion, adoption, and parenting. And then the workshops include PowerPoints, we do discussions, there's role plays, there's hands-on demonstrations, there's resources and materials, and a call to action after each one. What you see here, we give each of our clients that we in the workshops that are doing direct services with clients, we give them a reproductive kit, which includes a whole range of reproduction of contraceptions that people can actually look and feel and use, and they take these out on their home visits, and they find that to be very, very good for getting messages across. The workshops have received the highest ratings in terms of comprehension, in terms of feelings of increased confidence by the people that attend, and satisfaction with the material and the delivery. Linda's presentations are very funny and a lot of fun, and people enjoy them a lot. They also report that they convey materials in ways that they really can understand, and even more importantly, that they can use to help their clients understand. They say they're armed with new tools to work with clients and new information for themselves as well. We find every time we talk about contraception, there's a million questions about people's own contraception choices, and they learn a lot in these things as well. Some of the things people have said in our post things that they fill out is, it's changed my approach to home visitation, and I've officially joined the women's health movement, and I want to be another Margaret Sanger. Your workshops are different because you came in wanting to hear from us and work with us and not just as experts. That was a big thing, that we really worked with them about what they needed and wanted. I've never seen anything like this, and I've learned so, so much. People also found that they could apply this to different aspects of their lives. I finally found a way to talk to clients, but also to my own daughter, about sex in a way that they will all understand. And then since attending your training and incorporating your teaching methods, family planning has gone from the least favorite to the most favorite topic of our clients. This was with a Hispanic promotores group who started incorporating Linda's props and things into their training. We're doing continued follow-up and refreshers that are offered to the folks that we do workshops with. We do bullshit sessions about what's working, what's not, things they might need to know more about. We do a train-the-trainer option. We're actually doing reproductive health team leaders with three of the sites, and those are people who get more one-on-one mentoring with Linda to become the person who can do the workshops and the referral and the follow-up in their own agencies. And we do a Survey Monkey follow-up at 6 months to see how this is going. Basically, the success tenets have broad applicability, including directly to clients, to lots of different social service agencies, to clinicians and their patient providers, and they really allow us to find a way to put these reproductive justice tenets into practice and equip other professionals to bring these tenets to their clients. Thank you. Oh, these are my acknowledgments where we've borrowed from Chip and Dan Heath, Amy Shalat, and Amy Voligar from Positive Encounters. Thanks.